Hello there. Welcome to the Visionary Practice Solutions podcast. I'm your host, Dr. Sarah, and I am here to talk all things private practice, helping you to build your vision of the private practice of your dreams. Hello again. Today's podcast is going to be based on a question that I get a lot, which is, how do we diversify lines of service in our private practices? And mainly, how do you make the decision on which service line to go with? How do you execute it? What are the costs and benefits of doing it? So there's a lot to think about when you're looking at trying to decide what kind of a line of service is going to work the best for your practice. So I wanted to go through a little bit today how to kind of make that decision, how to think about these things, a little bit on how to budget it, and then how to kind of create a strategy around executing a new line of service in the practice. Now, the first part of deciding on a new line of service to add to your practice is to identify why it is that you want to do so. And really, it kind of falls into a couple of different categories. One is that, you know, you just need to overall increase revenue for the practice, and you figure this is a good, easy way to do it. Or two, it may be that you would like the office to be bringing in revenue even when you're not there. So you're either just straight trying to increase your revenue with your own time, or you're trying to actually buy back some of your time, which I highly, highly recommend. I also recommend the book, Buy Back Your Time by Dan Martell. Highly recommend. You should go look for that on Amazon. You know, if you want to buy back your time, that would be the other reason to go ahead and start looking at a new service line. And service lines can be anything from a cash only, so non-insurance covered service. They could be that you're offering kind of a new material, you know, sellable item in the office that, you know, your staff can sell without you being there. There might be other insurance covered services that are not dependent on you. So either, you know, a medical assistant, a lower level practitioner can go ahead and do those types of services for you, hopefully without your oversight. Or is there another complementary service provider, you know, maybe a massage therapist, acupuncturist, physical therapist that you would like to bring into your practice to help, you know, kind of help offset some of the revenue, maybe offset some of the expenses? And the good news about this is that there isn't really a right answer. Sometimes my clients will get stuck on, I'm not sure which one to do. I have all these ideas. Any of them could be good options. And I just don't know which one to pull the trigger on. A lot of times sitting down and doing the old-fashioned pros and cons list is a good way for people to do this. The other way that you can look at it is really dialing in not just a pros and cons list, but looking at a couple of other questions that I like to go through when making these decisions. So the first one is kind of, what's the purpose of this? Like, what is it you're wanting to accomplish? That goes back to what we were just talking about, where you're just trying to increase revenue and you don't care if it's something that takes up more of your time. You'd rather be doing that than doing some of the other things in your practice. Or are you actually trying to buy back your time, not have to be at the office and have somebody else, you know, performing that? Also looking at the importance of what it is you're looking at doing. So, you know, what is the impact going to be? How many of your patients is this going to help? How much is the revenue going to help your practice? You know, how much time is this going to take? And then what is this like ideal outcome look like? You know, so at full capacity of you doing this service line, you know, what is the most revenue you're bringing in? How much of your schedule is filled with this? Those are things to be able to look at, because it'll help really sell you on the idea or not. And then the other part that I like to look at, which is a little more of the pros and cons part, is the competition in your market. So is there direct competition like within 5 or 10 miles of your office that is doing the exact same thing? You know, how many of them are doing it? How is this thing priced? Is this a well-known service, or is this a relatively unknown service? A good example of this would be how much outside marketing is already done for you. You know, do you have a regenerative tissue allograft that nobody's ever heard of that, you know, would be just great for your patients, but nobody's heard of it? It's relatively unknown. So a lot of the marketing is going to fall back on you. Or is this that you want to bring Ozempic into your practice? Well, because of outside marketing, everybody knows what Ozempic already is. You know, that's going to make your marketing a lot easier. And I'm not saying that it's good to go one way or the other, not necessarily just, you know, take the easy way. It will be easier if somebody's already done the marketing for you, but it doesn't mean it can't be done. It's just something that you need to know and have lined out before you decide to embark upon. Is this one I want to go ahead and do? Is this something I have the marketing budget to do? And then you get to the con side of this analysis, which is, okay, what's the worst that can happen if I go ahead and I take this risk? And this would be stuff like, okay, let's say you've gone with that allograft product. You really had to purchase, you know, 10 of them at a time. And let's say they're pretty expensive. Now, you know what your price point's going to be in order to offset that cost to you, but what if you don't sell any of them? This is essentially the hard cost with this, is that you have a product now that you've got to pay for up front, and then you're trying to reimburse yourself. So these are the types of things to think about when you're looking at different service lines. Obviously, a product is going to have more upfront cost, or a machine is going to have more upfront cost in the beginning. Whereas if you were to bring in another service provider and you have them on an independent contract, you're not paying anything up front. You're giving up some of your space, but that doesn't physically cost you anything in terms of revenue. It does cost you on your space availability. So these are the types of cons you want to look at and see what you can, you know, more afford to risk at the time. Once you've got your pros and cons going, it gets pretty easy to see, you know, down to one or two different service lines that you think would be the best, or that you're the most excited about, or that you're the most comfortable with the risk. Now is when we start looking at some of the additional criteria to figure out. So who's going to perform that service? Is it going to be you? Is it going to be a different level of provider? Is it going to be somebody that's already in your office that you now need to clear up their schedule so that they can do so, like a medical assistant? What marketing is going to be required? Do you have the ability to market to your existing patients, or are you looking at getting entirely new patients into your office for this? Obviously, with having to get entirely new patients on a unknown service or product is going to be a lot harder and is going to require a longer runway and a lot more marketing budget up front than if you were to do something that you know 50% of your existing patients do need, and it doesn't cost you a whole lot to have it available in the office. The final component is going to be, how do we price this new service line? It's very easy with a product to just say, oh, I'm going to use a general rule of thumb and we'll mark it up 50%. Or a manufacturer will tell you, we recommend retail of 50 or 60% above, you know, what you're paying for it. And that's all fine, well, and good. But the other parts of this that go into pricing are, what is the competition in your area doing for prices? And this is where, you know, calling around and being a secret shopper is helpful, or you can have your staff do it if you're worried about it. I think that's important to know. And then the other part of it is with who is doing the service. This is why it's important to know that, because if you're doing the service, you need to look at how long it's going to take you to actually perform this service. So is this something that's going to take you half an hour? And, you know, maybe your hourly rate is, let's say, $500 an hour. That's what you want to be making in clinic in order for you to have, you know, your ultimate dream revenue, right? So good, shoot for that. But that means that you at least need to be making $250 for that half an hour, plus the cost of whatever it is, you know, product-wise that you're bringing in. Now, let's use the example that you're not going to need to be the one to perform this service. Let's say it's a product and it's an injection, but your MA can perform this. You want to look at it the same way. How long is it going to take your MA to get the patient in the room, get the injection performed? Maybe you have to pop in and check on them, and then they leave. Let's look at that. So what is the cost to you to pay that MA for that half an hour of time? You want to make sure you're incorporating that within the cost of the service. So as you can see, pricing out a new product that you're bringing into the office as a service line, maybe an injectable or something else, it's not just the cost of the injection. It is also the cost of whoever's time is going to be performing the service, and a comparison with what the competition and the market value is for that. Now let's move away from products. Let's go with the example of maybe you're purchasing a laser for your office, and the laser is going to cost you, $90,000 or $100,000, something crazy like that. First of all, side note, I would completely recommend shopping around online overseas for the same lasers. You can usually get them at a third of the cost. That's a whole other conversation, but I've done that for every laser and it has worked out beautifully. But let's say you go ahead and pay for it. You know, you've got the marketing support, the rep support, you're purchasing all of that in that $100,000 purchase. That's not something that you're necessarily, trying to recoup all at one time, right? There's no product that you're necessarily buying as you go. You've spent all this money up front. So the way to look at this would be, yes, looking around at your competition more for what it is they charge for that laser service. That's probably going to dictate, in this case, the majority of how you're going to be able to price it and how high you're going to be able to go. That will determine how long it's going to be before you can recoup that return on investment. Now, the way I like to approach these really large purchases like this, where it's something that you're going to be paying off over a longer period of time, is twofold. One, I want to be polling my existing patient population to see if this is something they would even be interested in. And this can just be an offhanded conversation at the end of your visit. Hey, I'm thinking about getting this. Do you think that's something that you'd be interested in? And, what if it cost about this amount? Is that something that you think would be like reasonable? And, patients are really great about responding to that because they feel like they're giving you feedback on the business. They do want to see you succeed for the most part. So, if you've got some patients that you're comfortable with and you think would probably be the ideal patients for that type of service, those are the people I would start just offhandedly polling for a few months ahead of time, just to really get a sense of, am I going to need to bring in all new people to get this service paid for? Or can I utilize some of my existing patient population in addition to bringing in new patients to help me pay this off? The second part of it is really shopping around and finding out other places that are doing this type of laser, this type of service. What are they pricing this at? Are they all on price competition and everybody's doing a Groupon for it? And you've got people that are charging, $30 for buy nine, get one free. I mean, if somebody's doing that, that's probably not going to be worth it because you're not going to be able to compete with that and get your return on investment anytime soon for a $100,000 laser. But let's say it's not something ridiculous. Let's say it seems more reasonable. You call around other places and you find out they're charging on average about $100 for a treatment. Okay, now we can do the math. So we have a $100,000 machine that people are able to charge $100 to be competitive in your area for this service. If you divide $100,000 by a $100 service, you need to do 1,000 services before you even have this thing paid off, right? When you extrapolate that math out, you have to think, how many in a month do I think I can possibly do? Let's say you decide to be real conservative and you go, I think I could do about 5 per month. I think that's reasonable for my practice, given how many people I know probably need it versus how many will actually go for it. So let's say 5 a month. That, if you do those numbers, comes out to needing 200 months to pay that off. So 16 years, about. Whereas if you figure, let's say I could do 10 a month. Well, now we're looking at only 8 years to pay it off because you only have to do 100 months to get that paid off. So, if your equipment loan is a 10-year loan, which most commercial loans are, you're definitely going to need at least 10 services per month. So that tells you how much you're going to need to increase your marketing to be pulling people in. And if you have doubts that you're going to be able to do 10 in a month, and then it's going to take you a while to get up to that, that needs to be a real consideration in how much you're going to spend for some of these larger machines. So that's cash service items. Now, let's talk a little bit about like in-office sellable items. The benefit with this is that you can have those sold essentially by your staff, and hopefully this is an item that you would have recommended to most of your patients anyways. That's kind of the criteria you want to look for. Is this something that I recommend to, 7 out of 10 of my patients anyways, and we just send them over onto Amazon to go get this? Like, if you're sending people to Amazon, no offense to him, but stop paying Jeff Bezos. Like, pay yourself. the downside to this is you do have to have inventory up front. So you do want to shop around, make sure that you can get a decent bulk price for whatever these items are. And then you price it. And this is where you can use that just certain percentage above. You know, you can go with the suggested retail value, because really, if you just want to keep it right around what they could order it online, maybe a couple dollars more than that, basically that extra couple bucks from what they could find it online is the convenience fee. It's the convenience of them not having to go online and wait for shipping and all of that. Like, they can literally go home with it that day. And I think within a couple of dollars, that's a pretty easy sell for people. And I always just tell them up front, like, you could get it online for this. We sell it for this. Totally up to you. And it's very nonchalant. And I would say 9 times out of 10, people are like, I'll just get it here. That's totally fine. What you don't want to get sucked into with some of these products that you can sell in your office is a lot of times you'll have reps coming around that are going, oh, this new product, we have all of these people that are killing it with this, and that, you know, they're making a ton of money in their office, and it's a little bit pricey up front, but you definitely make your money back within so many months. You've got to look at what type of practices they're trying to promote, right? So if this is not a product that, I would say, my general rule, if this is not a product that at least 50% of my existing patients need, I'm probably not going to carry it. I don't care how good the profit margin is, or, you know, how good the, in some of these cases, it's like an insurance reimbursed thing. You know, I don't care how good that is. If that's not in demand in your office, it really doesn't matter what the profit margin is on it. So don't get too sucked up in some of these. If it's not the type of patient that's in your practice, that's okay. Some reps will, you know, offer to help bring those type of practice patients in for you so that they can, I mean, obviously it benefits them too. I think the way to go about that, in my opinion, is to ask if they would go ahead and do any of their product on consignment. So basically, you don't pay for it unless it actually starts selling, unless the rep does their job to help you with promotion. You know, and if you don't sell it, they take it back. And great, you basically pay for it once it's already been sold. I think that's a nice way to dip your toe in the water if you're unsure, or if you're right about that 50% marker. But put it in the rep's hands. Like, if they're willing to help you market, make sure they're actually going to follow up on that. Now, the final category is bringing in other types of service providers. So these are going to be service lines that are complementary to what you do in your office. A lot of us would benefit from having a, you know, nutritionist, dietitian, physical therapist, acupuncturist. I mean, whoever you are referring the most to, or again, you think at least half your patients would be able to benefit from having that type of provider in-house, that's when you start considering, okay, can I either rent out a portion of my space, or do I just straight up hire this person? That differentiation and decision has a lot to do with how much demand there is for it in your office and how much risk you're willing to take. If there's a ton of demand for it and you know there's not a lot of competition in the area, let's say we want to bring in a physical therapist. So there's not that many physical therapists in the area, or they're really backed up, right? People are having to wait 6, 7, 8 months to get in, which I have seen happen. And let's say that, you know, 60% of your patients you're putting in physical therapy. Maybe that's just the type of practice you have. Or maybe it's an insurance requirement in order for you to check off the list before they go do other treatments. In that case, you have to look at what it actually costs for a physical therapist to come in. If you decide to bring them in as an employee, you really just have to do the numbers. The hourly wage to keep a higher level provider like that is, it's going to be high. And unless you know that you can fill that schedule quickly, it's going to be a little bit harder to make that work. Now, in the long run, having somebody on hourly pay in that type of a position probably will make you more money for the practice. But the other way you could do it, if you just don't have the capital up front, which is really common for solo and, you know, duo offices, is to go ahead and just do them on a percent compensation. So, you know, a percent revenue, you look at their monthly, you know, revenue that they've brought in gross. You agree to give them a certain percentage of it. You guys are on a contract together. They're keeping their general hours in the format that you want to have the hours open. And that way you're just paying them through payroll. So you are still paying your payroll taxes. They're not technically an independent contractor. They're just being paid based on a percentage of their gross revenue receipts. The other possibility is to just have them as an independent contractor. And at that point, you're probably looking at somebody who's got their own practice and they should have their own, you know, LLC, their own practice, their own everything. And then they're essentially renting space from you. And you could do that as a percent paid back to the practice of gross revenue. You could just do that as a flat rental payment to help offset your expenses if you need the income faster. That totally depends on you and what all you guys are looking for, because it really does benefit, you know, both the independent provider you're bringing in, and it helps with your bottom line a bit. And that's really how you budget for a service provider coming in, is are you planning on paying them a wage right out the gate while you build up their practice? Then you need X amount of budget. Are you planning on totally independent contracting them? In which case, you don't really need a lot of upfront budget, and it's just going to start running by itself, and there's not a whole lot you need to do other than help market their practice. So now let's move to the overall execution of pulling off a new line of service. The good news is, whether you've decided to go with a cash service, whether you've decided to go with a product in office, whether you've gone with a different type of provider, a complementary provider in your office, you now already have all of the information. You know how much competition you have. You know what your budget needs to be. These are the things that help you determine your overall marketing strategy, including your timing. When are you going to start marketing for this? Do you start marketing a few months in advance, which I really like to do? Do you need to be hitting online marketing more because this isn't a very well-known service? Do you need to be pushing more on the in-office because you know at least half of your in-office patients are going to be people that are going to want this service? So once you've figured out where these patients are coming from, what your competition and price point is, this is where you start rolling out your plan of execution. And I'm going to do a whole different episode on the in-office versus out-of-office marketing. It can get really in-depth, but frankly, if you have a marketing company, this is a really easy way to go about this, because you can just sit down with them and be like, well, this is what I want to do. This is what I'm going to price it at. Here's the conditions it treats. Let's go ahead and get this going. And they will do some market testing, usually takes about 3 or 4 months to see what's available online. You can test some things in office, and then you guys are ready to rock and roll. I know this was a longer episode. I really hope that it helped answer the question and maybe get you a process that you can start to follow for yourself for deciding on whether or not you want cash services in your office and which one to choose, how to budget for this, and different ways to think about it. If you need more information or if you would like to reach out, I can be reached directly at Dr. Sarah, S-A-R-A-H, V-P-S @gmail.com, or you can find us on visionarypracticesolutions.com. We'll see you next time.